speak to you this evening on a section that's read in the synagogue on Yom Kippur. But first, I just feel compelled to read this section from Tanakh, what Christians call the Old Testament, what we Jews call the Tanakh. And this is one of the vital prophecies that was given about 725 B.C. by Isaiah the prophet. And the Jewish oral law, Torah Shebaal Peh, which includes the Talmud, and this is from that portion of the oral law that's called Tractate Sanhedrin, 98b. And it says that this is about the Messiah, it says. It refers to this prophecy, and it says this is speaking about the Messiah. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted, just as there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So will he sprinkle many nations. Sprinkling of the blood was to cleanse us of sin and purify us. So will he sprinkle many nations. And kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. Like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and Adonai, the Lord, has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. And who can speak of his descendants? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was stricken. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of Adonai, the Lord, to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though Adonai, the Lord, makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of Adonai, the Lord, will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By the knowledge of him, my righteous servant will justify or declare righteous many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's how God has dealt with the sin of mankind, Jew and Gentile alike, by sending his Messiah. And I might say this, that if we read about Yom Kippur in the Torah, in the Law of Moses, the main chapter is the 16th of Vayikra, Leviticus. It tells all about Yom Kippur and what God originally intended. And in the 17th chapter, the very next chapter, it gives an understanding of God's whole plan for salvation, because God introduced sacrifice for a purpose. The life of the flesh is in Hadam, the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altar to make a Kippur, an atonement for your soul. It is the blood, Hadam, that makes an atonement for the soul. I want you to go home and read that chapter, Isaiah chapter 53. And I want you to ask, Lord God, reveal to my heart the full intent you had in this prophecy and in Yeshua who fulfilled it. And what does that mean to me personally? Well, I'm going to talk to you tonight about a prophet who was sent to, of all people, the Gentiles, not to the Jews, and not just to any Gentiles. This is a strange situation. I want you to know this. I named this message, What Makes Jonah Run? Run away, that is. What makes Jonah run away? Now, Jonah, the prophet, his Hebrew name is Yonah, which means dove. Now, what do we think of when we think of a dove? Peace, right? Well, this story isn't about peace. It should have been, but it isn't. You know why? This prophet had the wrong idea. He wanted to do what he wanted to do, not what God wanted him to do. I want to read something that was written a few centuries before Jonah's ministry. Jonah's ministry was 800 to 750 BC. These first words I'm going to read are from none other than King David, who wrote 75 of the 150 Psalms in Tanakh. It's about running away. Psalm 139, verses 7 through 12. Where, O Lord, can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, the place of the departed, you're there. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. For darkness is as light to you. Do you know these soldiers have these infrared sights? You know about it? If you use an infrared gun sight, night looks like day. So it says about God, if I say, surely the darkness will hide me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, for darkness is as light to you. Well, I wonder if Jonah read this, because he seemed to have the idea that you could run away from God. It says, the word of Hashem, the Lord, came to Jonah, son of Amittai. So his name is Dove, which implies peace. And his father's name is Amittai, from the Hebrew Emet, which is truth. Those all sound like wonderful things. And this word of God came to him saying, arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and call out against her. For their wickedness has ascended before me. Now, you've got to understand about Nineveh. Israel's chief enemy was Assyria. In the Hebrew, it's Ashur. The capital of Assyria, Israel's chief enemy, was Nineveh. And so here God is saying to this prophet, Jonah, I want you to go to the capital of your chief enemy, and I want you to call them to repentance. He decides to run away. I'm going to run from God. Wonder how he figured that one out. So he runs to Joppa, and he takes a ship to Tarshish. Now, there were Tarshish cities in the Middle East, but the scholars seem to think that this Tarshish was really a place called Tartessus in Spain. He's going all the way from the Middle East to Spain. Guess what? To get away from God. You know, I guess, you know, if you think the way Spain is, I mean, some people could think it, you'd go there and get away from God. And so he goes and gets this ship at Joppa, and it's going to Tarshish, and the Lord decides to surprise him. The Lord sends this huge storm. You know, I seem to think that, you know, the insurance companies call a lot that happens in the weather these destructive things, acts of God. I'm wondering, with all this that's happening in our world, if there aren't these warnings from God that we should get things straight and repent. So here is a real act of God. And it is so strong and powerful that it seems strong enough to break this ship up. Everybody is frightened silly. Now, these sailors are not of Israel. They're not praying to Adonai, the God you read about in the Bible. They're praying to these foreign gods. And every guy starts crying out to his God. Save me! Save us! This is terrible. They, you know, they're sailors used to sailing on the sea, but not like this. Not in this kind of weather. They're frightened silly. You know, sometimes sleep is just a thing to get you from being so tired, and it's so peaceful and nice. Sometimes peace is an escape. Did you ever hear of that? people go to sleep to escape. And I sort of have the feeling that that's what happened to Jonah, because he goes down into the hold and he's sound asleep, and the captain's thinking about him, and he goes down there and he says, "Get up, pray. Maybe your God will stop this terrible storm." And so it keeps going on and it keeps getting worse, and they throw cargo over the side to try to lighten the ship to save their lives. And they can't figure out why this terrible thing happened, but they did know that Jonah had come to them and said, "I'm a Hebrew, and my God is the one who made heaven and earth." Now, that may frighten some people. You know, he's the one who's sending all of this. "And I'm running away from him," he had told them. So, you know, they didn't, I don't think they had dice in those days. They didn't have crap games. But they drew straws, like, you know. So they drew these straws to decide which one was really responsible for this, and it falls on Jonah. And they go to him and they say, "Do you have any idea what we could do to stop this? We're going to be destroyed." He says, "Yeah, I'll tell you. The only thing you can do is take me up and heave me overboard. And when I hit that water, the storm will stop." Well, they didn't want to see this guy die. They somehow had a liking for him. And they try so hard to row. This was not the princess line they were on. They rowed. You know, they didn't have these big engines. So they rowed. They wanted to get to land because they didn't want him to die. But they couldn't do it, so they had no choice. They threw him overboard. And when they threw him overboard, the storm stopped. And God provided a large fish. Now, they have songs like "Jonah and the Whale" and "Noah and Ark." It doesn't say a whale. It says a fish, which is not a whale, is a mammal. I don't know, but somehow God provided something that could swallow him. And he was inside of the fish 3 days and three nights. And guess what he does inside the fish? How many here have been inside a fish? Nobody? Well, if you didn't know what was going to happen to you and you felt yourself going down to the bottom of the ocean, I think if you had your senses about you, you'd pray. And that's what he started to do. Well, you know what's interesting about this story? There's a pre-Nineveh Jonah. Here's his personality, pre-Nineveh. And there's a post-Nineveh Jonah. And you might not think it's the same person. You know, isn't it great how when things are really stressful and we're frightened silly and we're afraid we're going to die, that we suddenly get holy? You've heard of foxhole repentance, right? And so Jonah prays this prayer, and it's a beautiful prayer. But I want you to notice the type of person that was there when God deals with this situation and does rescue him, and the type of person that's here. "I called in my distress to Hashem, the Lord, and he answered me. From the belly of the grave I cried out." In other words, he knew that if God didn't do something, this was the grave. "You heard my voice." He sees it as he's praying and he sees it as good as accomplished. You cast me into the depth and the heart of the seas. The river surrounded me. All your breakers and your waves pass over me. Then I said to myself, I was driven from before your eyes, but I will again gaze at your holy temple. Lord, I believe you're really going to get me out of this fix. That's what he's saying. Now, this famous Jewish exegete, Rashi, concluded that the miracle of the fish convinced Jonah that God wanted to save his life. There, God provided a fish to swallow him up. Waters encompassed me to the soul, the deep world around me. Reeds were tangled about my head. I descended to the basis of the mountains. He felt himself going down to the bottom of the sea. The earth, its bars were closed against me forever. Yet you lifted my life from the pit, O Lord. When my soul was faint within me, I remembered the Lord. How many feel that way? That when we think we're going to die, we remember the Lord. I think we should remember him before that and get ready to die. And then he promises that if we repent and call upon him and receive his salvation, that we will live with him forever. So I think we should not wait until we're going to die. When my soul was faint within me, I remembered the Lord. My prayer came to you, to your holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. If I think nothing good is going to happen, if I think there is no God and I'm done for, he says that's going to be a lying vanity and I'll forsake my mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. You know, usually I don't think most people would think of thanksgiving at the bottom of the water, at the bottom of the ocean. But he says, praise the Lord, thank you. I will pay that which I have vowed. Salvation, deliverance is of Adonai, the Lord. Then guess what happened? A miracle. Then the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on dry land. And it says that the prophecy came, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against her the proclamation that I tell you. Now, this was a huge city. It doesn't tell the exact population, but it says that if you wanted to go the complete arc around this city, it would take 3 days. So he goes to this city, and the word that he brings is so short. You know what it made me think? Well, Harold, you should make your messages shorter, because when the Holy Spirit speaks, sometimes it's only a few words and it accomplishes more than, you know, a long message. And so God tells him to go and say, in 40 days, 40 is the Bible's testing period, by the way, in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Could you think of a shorter message than that? But you know what happened? It had to be the Spirit of God. Because don't forget, these people were not worshiping the God we read about in the Scripture, who created heaven and earth. These people were worshiping foreign gods. And in their hearts, they are stirred. And they realize their own sin. And they call a fast from the king on down. Everybody calls a fast of repentance. And they're all repenting before God. And God was going to judge them. And it says, he relents. God relents. He decides they have really repented. I'm not going to judge them. So, you know, if this were a modern evangelist who was sold out to God and really was concerned about the salvation of souls, he would be rejoicing. Look, a whole city repented. I just said a few words and a whole city repented. Jonah didn't say that. Oy gevalt. I'm so upset. I'm so angry. I'm furious that God would do this. And he's having a conversation with God about God relenting. It caused Jonah to be very angry, and he addressed the Lord and said, Lord, this... Now, we ask the question, why did Jonah run? Meaning run away. Here's the answer. Lord, this is the very reason I hastened to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundant in kindness, and relent from doing harm. So now, Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. The Lord asked him a question. Are you very angry? Yes, I'm very angry. You know what he was saying? He was saying, I know these people are really my enemies. Lord, I didn't want you to save them. I wanted you to zap them. You know, doesn't God deal with all of us, even those who we say we're following the Lord, that we have these, we get upset with people and we say, oh gosh, I'd like to see him zapped. You know, we get upset. And the Lord says, I'm not like that. I'm out to show forgiveness and compassion. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. Yom Kippur is a day that God set aside in the law of Moses because he knew man walked in sin. And it was a time for man to confess his sin, and an offering was made, sacrifices were made at that time where that animal was taking our place. That animal was dying instead of us. And those animals pointed to the coming of one who would give his life for our sins. And so here is a man really showing what most of us in this fallen race are like. We don't, when we think of the enemy, we don't think, God, I'd like to see him saved. The way Yeshua did. It says Yeshua came, Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. You know what was lost? The whole human race. God so loved the world. This is a verse that's quoted by more people who read the New Testament than any other verse, I think. And you know to whom Jesus said it? He said it to a man whose Hebrew name was Nicodemus. We know him as Nicodemus. He was on the Sanhedrin, the Jewish Supreme Court, and he came to Yeshua by night and said, Rabbi, I and other rabbis know that you're a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that you do except God be with him. He was a Supreme Court judge, and he knew Torah inside and out. And Yeshua said to him, God so loved the world. This is to a rabbi. A rabbi on the Supreme Court. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son the Messiah, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have chaye olam, everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so that's always been God's heart, that Jew and Gentile alike might be delivered from sin and might become a child of God, each of us, and a son of the kingdom. God is going to establish an everlasting kingdom, and I want to be there with him in eternity, and I want you to be there too. And so Jonah is having a mourning session when he should have been rejoicing. And he goes out of the city and he sets up, of all things, a sukkah, a booth. You know, we're going to have a sukkah soon, but it's all together for a different reason. It was hot there and he wanted to shelter himself. And he sat in the booth to see what would happen to Nineveh. And God made a vine come up and go over him, and it was sheltering him from the heat. And he thought it was wonderful. He was rejoicing in the vine, and God sent a worm to eat the vine, and it dried up, and Jonah was angry again. He was angry that God would send that and then send the worm to destroy it. And next, God prepared a sultry east wind, after which the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, and he fainted. And then he exclaimed, "It is better for me to die than to live." And the Lord answered Jonah, and he said, "You have had pity on the vine for which you did not labor or make it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should I, the Lord, not take pity upon Nineveh, the great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and many animals as well?" What is the message here? Here is a group, a large population of not Israelis, of people believing in heathen gods, who hear the message of God about — that's the message now at Yom Kippur — repent, shuv, repent, change your direction. And they come to God, and they're sorry for their sins. And the message here is that when people repent, God relents. When people repent, God relents. God changes. He's no longer going to judge. He's no longer going to bring catastrophe. He's going to bring deliverance. It was when a Jewish tax collector who worked for Rome was up in a tree. His name was Zakkai. In Hebrew, it means pure. His name meant pure, but he wasn't pure. And Zacchaeus, we know him as. And he couldn't see Yeshua. Yeshua was coming through the town, and there was this crowd. And he was little like me, and he climbed up a tree. And he was looking down, and Yeshua had never been introduced to him. And he came down that road, and he looked up there, and he says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to dwell at your house today." Hello?